Let us pray. Hear our prayers, O God, that you in Christ will walk with us. This we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture for the morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 4th chapter. It is the reading for the first Sunday of the season of Lent. It is the story of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Listen now to the story for today. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The season of Lent began this past Wednesday. We Christians did not come up with the season of Lent when we first began to trust in the God we know in Christ. There's absolutely no reason to look up the word Lent in the Bible. You won't find it there. Lent, this custom of a focused 40 days of prayer, self-denial, preparation, it didn't arise in the church until later when the initial rush, the Christian adrenaline was over. And life was becoming a bit ho-hum. For the early followers of Jesus, when history did not come to its conclusion very quickly after the New Testament era, which Jesus implied in places, and the Apostle Paul seems to have expected in places, when the world continued on, Christians adopted a pacing, a letting down of energy and expectation. And in our own ways, most of us have felt that living on the edge, that energy and enthusiasm diminishing, not able to sustain the pace. Perhaps you know, as I have known, those good intentions, that Bible we were going to read every day is gathering dust on the bookshelf. The regular time of prayer, we're going to do it every day, becomes less regular. Those projects of compassionate service where we're going to make a difference and we're going to do it, they get rescheduled. Commitment to worship and Sunday school, they grow slack. We settle into a comfortable routine, remembering the days of our passionate devotion, sort of like the way we remember the passions of our childhood or youth. Little by little, we become devoted more to our comforts than to anything else, to an easy chair, a porch by the beach, a television to give us adventure or understanding. We come to the conclusion that, well, there's no contradiction between being comfortable and being Christian. And before long, it's hard to pick us out from the population at large. We're just one of the guys, one of the girls. No longer distinguished by our bold love for one another. No one gets in trouble for championing the cause of the poor and the voiceless. There are no traffic light pictures of us being caught in the act of reckless generosity. We avoid extremes, wanting to be nice rather than holy. And God moans out loud at this lukewarm, boring Christian faith. Hearing that moan and sensing that staleness within, someone long ago, someone suggested it's time to call us back to our senses. And the Bible offers some clues on how to come back to our senses. After all, when the children of Israel left Egypt to go to the promised land, it took 40 years. 40 years to get ready to enter the promised land, to be prepared. But some of us don't have 40 years left. But what about 40 days? Do you have 40 days? After all, that's what Noah did in the ark in that story, the 40 rainy days and nights. You may recall what one wag once said, if it hadn't have been for the storm outside, you couldn't have stood the stench inside. The great prophet Elijah spent 40 days in that same Exodus wilderness to hear that still small voice on that same mountain where Moses had spent 40 days to receive the law. 40 days. It's a good biblical number. And of course, there's this story in the Gospels of Jesus spending 40 days in the wilderness when he's tempted by the devil. And so if we don't have 40 years, and if we don't have a wilderness to live in, because we can't give up all our responsibilities, we do have 40 days. And those 40 days are called Lent. We Christians came up with the season of Lent in response to losing our edge, losing our focus, losing our passion. The word Lent in Old English came to mean, or what meant, spring. Lenten. Spring. Not only a reference to that time that comes before Easter, but also to be the spring of the soul. The growing time. 40 days to cleanse the system and to open our eyes to what remains. 40 days to live by the grace of God alone and not what we can supply ourselves. A self-imposed wilderness. Self-imposed wilderness to discover again our connection to God. In some ways, Lent is sort of like the church version of Outward Bound. Outward Bound is that wilderness program of self-discovery and awareness. No one has to do Outward Bound. You have to step up to it. You have to sign up and make the commitment. And you commit your life to the control of some strangers. And they ask you in the wilderness to do foolhardy things like go backwards over a cliff with only a rope tied around your waist. But the real test in Outward Bound is the part you do solo. Part of the Outward Bound experience is to spend 24 hours alone in the wilderness. These strangers take you and put you out in the middle of nowhere, and they wish you luck, and they leave you there. No cell phone, no radio, no map, no way to get out. And for 24 hours, you find out who you are. You find out what you miss when you don't have anything with you. You find out what you're afraid of. From the reports of participants, we know that some people dream about their favorite food. Some folks long for a safe room that has a door that locks. Others just wish they had a pillow. They find out what their pacifiers are. The habits, the substances, the surroundings they use to comfort themselves. We all have pacifiers. This solo experience forces them to encounter the world without anesthesia, to find out what life is like when there is no comfort except you and God. I think it's fair to say that 99% of us, if not all of us, get addicted to something. Eating, shopping, blaming, working, taking care of others, controlling, complaining, or playing. The simplest definition of addiction is anything we use to fill the empty place in us that belongs to God. And addiction is that urgency that we have when we live without it, at whatever that it is. And when we don't have it, there's an emptiness, there's a vacuum, there's a hollowness. Now that hollowness that we sometimes feel is not a sign of something wrong. It's actually the Holy of Holies. You know, that place in the temple where only the high priest can go, behind the curtain, and only once a year. That place where if anywhere the infinite God can be experienced, it is there. This hollowness. Empty place. The place where God can be most a part of our lives. But most of us, when we start feeling empty or restless or bored or anxious about nothing at all, we stick that pacifier into our mouth and we suck with all it's worth. It fills the hole, but it does not fill the hollowness. To enter the wilderness is to leave pacifiers behind. And nothing is too small to give up. That's the Lenten practice of giving up something. We give up one of our pacifiers. For 40 days, we give up something that's important to us, but not vital. Now, that's an important distinction. Important, but not vital. Several years ago, one of my children gave up homework for Lent. It doesn't fit the definition. Important, but not vital. What do we give up for Lent? People give up chocolate, reading the comics, eating dessert, playing computer games, drinking alcohol, watching television or just a program. Some folks even give up Facebook. Going to the internet all the time to check up on what's happening. Not bad habits. Just a habit. And for 40 days to pay attention to how often the mind and the heart travel in that direction. Now, what's going to happen is that you will miss what you have given up, yes, but instead of fixing the craving, why not live with it? What do you sense about yourself and about your journey with God in that craving? That's the wilderness identity question of Lent. The drive of the habit drives us toward God. Now, chances are if you choose a Lenten discipline of giving up something, you'll hear that little voice saying to you, you'll starve without the pacifier. The voice will continue, it will make you more anxious than you need to be. It doesn't hurt anyone or anyone else. You deserve a break. It'll be okay. Like another voice that spoke to one in the wilderness, you're hungry. Turn that stone into bread. There's nothing wrong with it. And there isn't. It's just a question of whether you'll stay in the wilderness to discover who you are. And yes, that little voice will continue. What you've given up is not a pacifier. It's a power tool for you. It's what picks you up. It's what relaxes you. I mean, it's what calms you down after working hard. It works for you. It will help you. Like a voice that spoke to one in the wilderness, you're a powerful person who can do wonders. Do it. It works for you. It will pick you up. There's nothing wrong with it. It's only a question of whether you'll stay in the wilderness and discover who you are. And if you don't fall to those two voices, there's a level three in this. If God really loves you, why waste your time on this silly exercise of giving something up? I mean, do what's practical, what's useful, what's successful, what works. Don't fight it. How can you argue with a winner? Like the voice that spoke to Jesus in the wilderness, you want to be the Messiah, you want to change people's lives, then I have the method that will succeed. You will win, says the voice. Only we become what we serve. We become what we give up our lives to. The methods we choose for living life give us our identity. And staying in the wilderness, even 40 days, can do so as well. And do us well. Because we've become comfortable with our lives, or at least with the discomforts. The wilderness forces us to change, and change is always threatening. Better the enemy we know than the unknown. But change is disturbing. But sometimes, like a brush with death is disturbing, it wakes us up from our unconscious living. Choosing the wilderness way may seem like settling for less, to live life less fully than we could. The Lenten discipline of giving something up seems harmless, a nice habit, but it's a waste of time, it's a loss. But for Noah in the ark, for Moses and Elijah, and for Jesus, and indeed for a host of those who have followed them, these 40 days of Lent, this self-imposed wilderness, it's a matter of settling for more, not less. It's a matter of confirming that resolve to worship the Lord our God and to serve no one else, to say to that voice that offers the easy way, get lost. To expect great things from God. To expect great things of ourselves. That's to settle for more rather than less. Let us pray. Our prayer, O God, is to walk even where Jesus has walked. And yes, that will include the wilderness. May we, O God, as He was, prodded by Your Spirit, walk the path that is ahead of us in this Lenten journey, this wilderness way. We pray, O God, that You will fill the hollowness of our lives with Your Spirit. And indeed, at such time when these days are past, we will be filled with the Easter joy. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.